The word of God for the sermon is the text which was just read, the edifying guidance of God's love on the cross to the family situation. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, that you show this love at the cross of Jesus, your love for us. We thank you, too, for revealing our situations of need, how we need you. And we pray for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit into our lives, that we may appropriate your helpful love in all of our needs. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It seemed to be the first cold, snowy blizzard day of this historic cold winter when I was officiating at the funeral of my father and at the graveside service. After it was all over and I pronounced the benediction through chattering teeth, I was walking over to the car to come back here to Indiana from northern Wisconsin, and a cousin stopped me and spoke to me. She was a high school teacher at one time, a counselor, well-educated, and lost her husband, had to rear her two small children. Now she's retired. And she asked me this probing question. She said, "Can you explain this to me? Doesn't it seem as if we're just spectators as life goes by?" Well, I said, "You know, you're going to go down and visit your son in Illinois, aren't you?" "Yes." "Well, why don't you swing over to Indiana and stop in, and we'll talk about this." Because what she's expressing here in her observation of being a mere spectator searching for meaning in life is answered in the model of family love at the cross. And you have several dimensions of family love here. First of all, you have the loyal disciple love. And we use this term, disciple love, over against the philia, you know, the true friendship, the abstract term of the Greeks. Because here you have it expressed in the love disciple. He comes to the cross. The Greek words are he enters the circle. He becomes involved. He becomes part of the support group. He has known the love of Jesus. It was revealed in the teachings of Jesus. And he has known it in the powerful miracles. And now he comes to share that love with Jesus as he is facing the enemy, dying on the cross. And the other friend is Mary of Magdala. She has known another kind of love, the forgiving love of which Jesus said, "The one who is forgiven most loves most." And she has the courage to involve herself in the support group around the cross. These are the kind of friends that lift us up when we need help in the devastating experiences that we go through, the high stress and the sorrow that I was experiencing here at the funeral of my father. A friend came up to me, an elderly lady, right after the service, and she is looking up at me with tears in her eyes, and she said, "You remember me?" And I looked down, and she apparently read in my eyes that there's too much going on today to remember those that I've been away from for 35 years. "I'm Mrs. Peterson," she said. "Oh, Tony's wife. Tony's widow. Oh, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you for coming." You see, non-verbally, she was communicating through the tears in her eyes, and she entered the circle of our sorrow as we were coming over in our experience against the enemy. And then another dimension is the faithful family love, the faithful relatives' love. Mary, wife of Cleopas. She's from his earthly family, a relative, blood relative. And you know, they come too to lift us up, bringing the family love. They send flowers, they come to the wake, they give memorials. They cheer us up and try to give us courage when this great stress breaks us down and we know we're battling with the enemy. But more important than this blood relative was his heavenly Father. He was present too. Jesus had spoken to him about these enemies. He says, Father, forgive them. This powerful love is there to darken the sun, to crack open the earth with earthquakes, to open the tombs, to rip apart the great curtain of the temple and change the destiny of religion. He's there. And rising from this scene is the family tree of the cross, to which we all become relatives, members by faith. And we have those relatives who were there too to help us and to lift us up. And then, of course, in our needs also, there's another dimension of family love. And that comes in the tender mother love of Mary, probably well expressed in the carving by Michelangelo, the Pietà, when the Christians wanted to express their greatest message of meaning to the searching world at the World's Fair at Montreal. They ensured to the hilt this historic carving, sculpture, and shipped it over there for people to contemplate. It describes this tender, merciful love of God, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, in this inner circle by the cross, taking down the body of her dead son. That's tender mother's love. But Jesus adds to it here. He says to her, behold your son. There is a power of adoptive love coming from the cross. It's more than just our relatives. And this mercy of God is shown. Behold your son. All of those children in our time, just here in Fort Wayne, we have the statistics, over half of the children in our public schools come from broken homes. Here from this cross, the words come, behold your children. You are the body of Christ, the vine and the branches. Reach out and draw these people together and make their lives meaningful as they search in the spectatorship of a rapidly passing life. My cousin said to me, I'm writing, now she's retired, I'm writing a family history. I'd like to ask you some questions. And when I have a chance to talk to her, I'm going to tell her, you know, in all of our family trees, our family histories, we should always put them over against these dimensions of the family love at the cross. And as I look at our family history, I see how people are lifted up when they use their freedom according to the measure of this love. I had one such relative who drove a long ways there to the graveside and to the funeral. He'd been a soldier in the Second World War, fighting against the Germans in northern Italy. A German sniper shot him through the head. It was this time of the year, you know, the melting snow. He fell into the water in the road, lay there all day. The medics couldn't come out because of the snipers. They came that dark night and picked him up. He had pneumonia. He knew the mercy of God that saved his life. And he had a strong faith in God. He came back as an ambulance driver, reared his children as Christians. I knew that. I called one of them on the phone. When I called him one time, the boy answered the phone. He's a student at the University of Wisconsin. And he told how he was witnessing on the campus as a Christian. This man, as we said goodbye at the graveside, who had lifted a lot of bodies into the ambulance, didn't know what words to use. So he put his arms around me to express that family love. And he lifted me right off the ground. And so that powerful love of God comes through that cross of Jesus as people are giving and receiving love there in his inner circle. Comes as the grateful child love, as Jesus says to his loved disciple, behold your mother. All of these widows, aged, of our time. That's what the word's saying to us. Take a minute. I once officiated at a funeral and sat at the of a young man, about 45 years, 49 years old. And I visited that family in the kitchen that night after he died, hot July day. We're sitting there talking. And I found out that his last words were to those around him as he dropped dead of a heart attack. Wait a minute. And so this itu, this word used here in the Greek, would say, just take a minute, will you? Would you mind pausing a moment? Behold your son, behold your mother. And so he says to his loved disciple, you know what love is. Show it there to your mother. And finally, you come to the redeemed love of the home. It says, he took her to his own home. The home and the family. We know what that means. I was just talking to a very sick pastor not long ago with a devastating disease. Tears in his eyes, he described the thoughts of death. Only moments after that, I said, you're going to be seeing your children? Yes. And a smile came to his face as he was lifted up to think that somebody would behold his parent. Oh, he says, my one son is driving a long ways, and they're all going to be home for Christmas. It isn't only that he takes Mary to his own home, where she can say with dignity, this is my family. The disciples who come to faith in God, because as one great theologian said, Jesus was her redeemer too, but he went to prepare a home for all of us. And when we witness of that, even to children, they can be lifted up. They're no longer spectators as they face the enemy. As Dr. Kubler-Ross, a lot of research in death and dying, told this account of a young girl. When she knew she was going to die, she asked the nurse, what will happen to me when I die? And the nurse says, oh, don't ask such questions. Take your medicine. And later the chaplain called on her. She asked the same question. What will happen to me when I die? And he listened to her tenderly, talked with her. And he asked, what do you think? And she said, I will be home with Jesus, and I will be with my grandmother. Amen.